to Matthew chapter 23, and we are going to talk about a subject that is dear to all of us right now here in Stillwater. We're going to talk about masks. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I want to make it very plain tonight, okay, and especially everybody out there online, that you don't think I'm coming against the medical mask. I'm not going to tease. I don't like putting that thing on because it fogs up my glasses all the time, okay? So I take them off, and I can drive and see without them, but I wear them most of the time for eye strain, but I put that thing on, and I had to go into the post office the other day, and I went in there, and my goodness sakes, I got them. They're fogging up, you know? I'm like, oh, why didn't I take these off? So I'm pulling it back, and the lady at the counter, and she's got one on, and they got this big screen up in front, and I'm like, you know, whatever. But anyway, I said, how do you keep your glasses from fogging? I'm fogging them, I'm doing this, you know. And she said, well, I put such and such on them. I'm like, yeah, well, I'd rather just take the mask off and go back outside. You know what I'm saying? It's nice outside. But anyway, I'm not coming against your masks. So those of you that are so pro-mask, don't worry about it. I'm not coming against that. I've been putting mine on. Let me show you this. This is the one that I have been wearing around whenever I go in places. And it's a cow mask. How do you like that, huh? You know? Yeah, they gave it to me at Chick-fil-A because I spend money there. So anyway, but praise God. So we are going to talk about masks tonight, but we're going to talk about masks from a biblical perspective and what the Bible has to say about masks. And it has nothing to do with this corona, what's it called? Coronavirus? COVID, that's it, COVID-19. Yeah. Anyway, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with your heart tonight, okay? So we're not talking about a medical mask. We are talking about masks that people put on. And they'll put them on in different masks at any given point. And there's not a one of you in here tonight that haven't put on a mask at one time or another. Okay, so Matthew 23. Jesus addressed this subject in Matthew 23. Beginning in verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. See the word hypocrites? Jesus uses it 15 times in the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, Jesus is the one that uses it in the New Testament. And every time he uses it, he gets the same kind of response because nobody likes to be called a hypocrite. You ever been called a hypocrite? It's usually not by somebody that is so fond of the way you're acting at the moment. They say, you know, they've seen you act one way and they know you can act one way and then you act a different way and they're calling you a hypocrite. A hypocrite not for the way you're acting at the moment, which might have been ugly, but for the way that you acted before, now seeing that you can act ugly. Did you get that? It's amazing how people will be quick to strike out and lash out at others when they themselves have put the mask on many, many times, maybe not in front of that person. There's not a one in here who hasn't played the role of the hypocrite to some degree or another. Well, Pastor, I don't like to think of it that way. Well, I don't really care if you do or not. It's the truth. And Jesus dealt with it here. He was dealing with the Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. What are those? Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done. In other words, you should not omit the weightier matters of judgment, mercy, and faith. You should not ignore that. But you should not leave the other undone. In other words, the tithing. This verse right here, verse 23, is a New Testament verse that Jesus himself said, you ought to tithe. It's so quiet in here right now. We believe in tithing. We believe in tithing. Tithing is something that we do. It's a lifestyle. I have been tithing since the day I found out about it. When I got born again in 1979, one of the first series I listened to was The Laws of Prosperity by Kenneth Copeland. It was Pastor John's tape series that he had bought. I still don't know why you bought that other than probably for me. because you weren't listening to it at the time. I wrecked the set because I listened to it so much. I probably do owe you. Just listen to me. That's all. I'll preach it to you, John. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. All right. What do I owe you? $30? It's probably $30, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Lord. Well, I have the $30, so if I need to pay you, I will do that. Anyway, but that was the first thing I listened to, and he talked about tithing and how laws govern this whole thing that we call prosperity. And so I cut my teeth on learning how to believe God very, very young in my walk with Christ. And so praise God for that. But tithing is something that we should do. Look at verse 24. We're just going to read a little bit more here. You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Here it is again. I mean, he's calling these guys hypocrites left and right. Hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Then he goes on in verse 27, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now he's saying this to the most religious people of the day. Very staunch, very knowledgeable, religious theologians. And he's calling them hypocrites, and they're not liking it one bit. For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and inquiry. Now, I'm just going to stop there because he goes on a little bit more in addressing them. But the word hypocrite is one that we need to get down the definition, because this is where this entire message about masks comes in. Hypocrites, or hypocrates, however you want to put it. But it literally, the Greek word hypocrates, hypocrites, means to hide behind a large mask. And that mask, what that does is it blocks out what you are. So you hide behind a large mask, and what they would do in biblical days, it was like a stage thing where they would act, you know, and they would put on a mask to be something else. And they had some kind of a device, maybe a small horn to shout through that would magnify their voice. And so how many of y'all know that this putting on the mask and being somebody that you're not may have happened today in your life? You know, many times you get around strangers and, you know, you just had a sharp word for your husband or for your wife or somebody, and you get around somebody else that you don't even know, but they know you're a Christian and you're sweet as pie. Now, don't look at me in that tone of voice. I know that this has happened before. You know, if in fact you are going to walk the walk of the word, you're going to be confronted at times where it would be easier to put a mask on than to repent. But I'm going to tell you right now, the better route to go is to repent and let the Lord restore your joy and your happiness instead of putting up a phony front. Why not deal with it? I've had to do that already. Had something going on in my life, and I was upset about something. I don't even know now what it was, but I remember the day, and I got a phone call. And as I answered the phone, because in those days we didn't have cell phones, number one. But I picked it up, and it was somebody with an emergency. And I needed to repent for being upset with somebody else. And as I picked up the phone and said hello, I mean, because it came over the answering machine that we had at the time, and I could hear they're upset, and I'm like, Father, forgive me in the name of, hello? So did you put on a mask, Pastor Dan? No, I repented real fast. Ooh, he had to do that again. Don't play that game with me. I know everybody in here has had to repent of something at some point, and you know good and well when you've done it. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. Some of you are not going to say amen for anything because you're more spiritual than all of them. No, that's not true. We're not. We are people, and people sometimes put on masks. Give me one of these masks. Let me have one. I don't know. Let me mute me off, and let me have this on right here. Let's do this. Oh, boy. He turned it off again. Okay, here we go. Okay, praise God. All right. You have to bring it to me. The gold one. The gold one. Thank you. Okay, see the mask? People put on masks at times. This is like a fancy mask, actually. It's like fabric-ish, you know? And you can wear this to a party. Looks like somebody's worn this one already, too. There's stuff around the mouth and the nose. I don't think I'm going to put that on. Anyway. But here's the thing. What if this were, okay, this is kind of a mask that looks like no expression, right? Kind of like you right now, no expression. We have one that was a pretty funny one with a smile. I mean, it was the eyes. It was the Johnny Swinger loved it. They were glasses that make your eyes look like they're about that wide apart. And I put that thing on. You look like an idiot when you put those on. And we couldn't find it. I don't know where they're at. But there are folks that put on a mask of happiness. They want to always be the happy person. The friendly guy. Is there one that's smiling over here? There's one that's smiling. I'm out of the camera view. You got to bring them to me. This one here, this is kind of creepy. Let's do this. Let's do this. Oh, gee. Hold on. Now, am I smiling? Yeah, it is recorded. So now, Jerry, it's already online, so you know. Okay, so yeah, here it is. Here it is. Okay. The mask, the smiley face, when you walking in and you've got stuff. I'll put it back on. Because I can't talk and hold it and all at the same time. But the smiley face. Now, these are stupid looking lips. I know that. You know, I actually said that the other day. I think I'll wear that one in the post office. Hey, Larry, how you doing? Hi, soldier. Anyway, so people put masks on. I can't talk with this thing on. People put masks on to cover over what they're really feeling. They put on the phony, they're probably really sad underneath, right? What about, have you ever seen somebody put on a mask of superiority? They get puffed up. Why is that? Why does somebody try to act like they're over the top of somebody else? Because in reality, they feel like they're underneath, inferior. So inferiority, what is this one? It's replaced, oh my. Small face. You like that? Is that good, Shanda? Yeah, you like that? Like an old woman, huh? One eye? The mask of, strength when you're feeling really weak. Thank you. The mask of pretty when you're looking ugly, right? You know, yeah. But masks are put on at any given time in our lives. You're going along just fine. You're being you, and you see somebody, and you reach in your bag of masks. Get that mask up so they can't see what's really going on behind that thing. Mm-hmm. I know. It's called being a hypocrite. You say, now, Pastor Dan, you know, I want to be polite. I'm feeling angered. I ran into a woman one day from the church. This has been a lot of years ago. She doesn't come to this church. I don't know where they live now. So you won't know who it is, okay? But I walked in to Walmart, and I'm going along. And in fact, were you with me? I think we were together. And I said, hello, how are you? No, I think maybe I was by myself. Hello, how are you doing? She looked at me, just wouldn't even say hi. Walked right past me. And I'm like, wow. I remember I wanted to say, well, you know, yeah, like you would want to say, well, what's your problem, you know? But I'm the pastor. I can't do that. So I was like, so I saw her in church the next service, and she said she didn't really want to talk about it. And I'm like, did I do something? I just was having a bad day. I said, well, you shouldn't take it around and put it off on everybody else. Well, I guess. There was a lot of repentance and change there. There was somebody who refused to put a mask on and let everybody see. You see, there's that other side of it. You can be going about, and you're going to let it all hang out, and you don't care who sees it. Well, that's not a good witness for Christ either, amen? What she should have done is ask the Father to forgive her for her angry thoughts and ask for the encouragement that she needed before she ever walked into that store, knowing that she may run into some people that she needs to show a godly witness for. Don't walk around with your feelings out there on your sleeve and all this stuff going on, and you're walking around and your chin is dragging on the floor, and, oh, you know, poor me. Oh, you're really walking in faith. So there's a couple ways of looking at this thing. But if you're trying to fool people, that's why I say sometimes you need to repent and get it right, and then you can smile with a clear conscience. Amen? Brethren, if our conscience condemns us not, the scripture speaks of that in 1 John chapter 3. So, you know, I mean, hey, if you sin, confess your sin before the Lord. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, 1 John 1, verse 9, to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You slipped out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection, and you stopped walking in the Word of God, and now you need to get back in line with it. That's really what it boils down to. Don't put a mask on. That's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg if all you're doing is putting up the facade. I mean, that's not, you didn't do anything other than fool the person with your acting ability. We have another mask? Oh, gee. Those are those rubber kind that have to go all the way over your head, so. Okay. I'm not going to play the devil, okay? Put it on. Gee. Why don't you put it on? Yeah. Mm-hmm. These don't fit me very well. But that's a devil mask, and this is a guy with bad teeth. Amen. Pirate! I chop you up and, yeah, whatever. So, let's go into the Word a little bit more. We just looked at a few verses of Scripture. I want to show you there's places in the Word where there are examples of people that walked in this kind of hypocrisy or hiding behind a mask. One of the first examples that I saw in the Word was back in Genesis 27. Make note of it. I'll tell you the story. We'll read a verse in just a moment. But in Genesis 27, you remember when Jacob, this is the ultimate hiding behind a mask of sorts, impersonates his brother Esau. Yeah, and he put the fur on his arms, and he did that, and he, you know, rubbed some whatever hay and stuff on him, and he made himself smell like the outdoors because Esau was this hunter, and And it fooled Jacob, right? That is a bit of hypocrisy. Stole the birthright. Well, lo and behold, in chapter 37 of Genesis, 10 chapters later on down, now years down the road, but what happens to Jacob? Joseph is sold by his brothers into slavery. Where did that happen? Do y'all remember? Where was he sold into slavery? Anybody remember? Joseph? Where did Joseph end up? Come on. In Egypt. So they sold him, but what did they tell the dad? An animal got him. Here's his coat, and they put a little blood on it, and, you know, it tore him up, and all that's left is his coat, and they lied, did they not? And I can't help but think, you know, Jacob had it coming, didn't he? I mean, think about it for a minute. That was a horrible thing to do, what the brothers did. And it turned around and had a nice ending because Joseph was the second in command in Egypt under Pharaoh, and he welcomed his brothers when the famine hit and all that, and his dad too, and they were scared when they found out who he was, but he walked in forgiveness and got honored that walk of forgiveness. But Jacob was deceived just like Jacob deceived, right? The name Jacob means heel grabber in Hebrew. A heel grabber. He came out of the womb grabbing his brother's heel. And what that meant was he was a one who would do whatever he had to do and was a bit crooked. That's all it boiled down to. Well, he deceived, and he ended up being deceived. And so it's kind of like he sowed some seeds that maybe he didn't repent of. Amen? In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see another example of somebody hiding behind a mask, and it's David with his encounter with Nathan. And the story is told that a man came and took the ewe lamb from the man who had won. This guy that ended up taking that lamb had a whole bunch but didn't want to take of his. He went to this guy who had won, and it was like a pet to the family. And took it and killed it and served it. And David was furious when he heard what happened. What did Nathan say to David? Do you remember? You're the man, right? Because he had Uriah the Hittite killed. David was doing just fine in that little scenario, but he had the mask on firmly in place. He had the mask firmly in place. He was hiding behind that mask of righteous indignation about the man that stole this lamb and killed it and took the guy's only lamb when he had a whole bunch. And he could have gone to his herd and taken one out of there, but no, he took the man's only lamb, and David was furious. And in an instant, it's turned on him. And the mask is jerked off. Because Nathan the prophet knew exactly what had gone on, and he said, you're the man, you had Uriah the Hittite, now killed. And David repented, but David paid a serious price for that sin. I won't call it an indiscretion. Yes, it was that, but it was a sin. It was a sin in the eyes of God, what he did, and he paid a severe price for it. Amen? Now, go over, you're in Matthew, go to the book of Job. There are a lot of places in the Old Testament that talk about hypocrites. And Job, there's a number of references in Job. Job chapter 8. And I just am going to pick one out just to show you that there are places in the Old Testament that talk about those that are walking in hypocrisy. It wasn't, the word hypocrite was not even mentioned in those instances that I just cited to you in 2 Samuel 12 with David and Genesis 27 with Jacob and Esau, and then Genesis 37 with Joseph and his brothers. But in Job chapter 8, look at verse 13. And this is an interesting verse. It says, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. In other words, if you're hiding behind a mask all the time, if your life is one of deception, of, you know, look this way when the church people are around and act however you want to act when they're not around, okay? If you're doing that, all hope, all expectation of what God can and will do in your life is going to go away. You're not going to grow in faith. You can't play the role of the hypocrite and get away with it. That's what it's pointing at. And I look at that and I think, you know, those that Jesus called hypocrites in Matthew 23 and in other places in the Word, they were putting on the show. They were the showboaters. It was all about the show. It's not about the show. The big picture is more important than the moment. But the big picture is we're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to be upright and honest. And yeah, you know, I mean, there's not a one of us in here that don't go through times where we have, you know, challenges to our faith, challenges to our attitudes. You ever have a bad attitude? Am I the only one in here that's had a bad attitude from time to time? Every one of us have had bad attitudes. Nobody is perfect. Now, in Christ, yes, that's the spiritual me. The spiritual side of you is perfect. That's your spirit man. But what's the part that gives you the problem? This body of death, the Bible calls it. This flesh. We're going to talk about the voice of the body on Sunday. Amen? Yeah, I'll go ahead and kick it over. The voice of the body on Sunday, we're going to talk about that. Well, you deal with this one, okay? Stay. It's a nice mic. But the voice of the body will never tell you to go to church. The body will never tell you to walk in love. The body will never direct you into the scriptures. The body always will do things that run totally opposite to the Word of God. And you have to learn the body language so you recognize body language. Now, I'm not talking about when you put your hand on your hip, you're getting defensive. I don't mean that. What I'm talking about is how your body communicates its desires to you. And you have to recognize how the flesh works, how that body. You know, I said to you on Sunday that whoever controls the soul controls your destiny. Your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. That part of you. And it's either going to be controlled by the Spirit who is subjected to the Holy Spirit, or by the body, which is subjected to carnal things out here in the world, and frankly, the devil. So I don't want the devil controlling my destiny. Amen? I don't want the enemy getting in and messing with me where my thoughts are not being controlled by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So, this business of putting a mask on, this business of putting up the facade, I tell you, we need to address it in our own personal lives. That's part of, this kind of dovetails into being, not being wholly sanctified. We're supposed to be wholly sanctified, W-H-O-L-L-Y, totally sanctified, not partially sanctified. We're not supposed to have areas that we have to put a mask on all the time over. No, those things need to be straightened out before the Lord so we don't have to walk around putting on airs, trying to fool people with the way we want to present ourselves. Now, one thing I will say, that, you know, when you're among your church family or you're out in public, you're not going to sit on or lay on these chairs or, you know, take your shoes off and pull on your toes or something. You're not going to do that. You might do that at home, and that's your business, and there's nothing wrong with it at the house. So we act ways that are polite in public, right? We don't need to go there, but you can let your imagination run. You know, people do things at home in the privacy of their home that, you got an itch, you scratch it, okay? Whereas when you're among family or you're among strangers or whatever, you don't do that, you know? So that's understandable. Well, I'm putting on a mask, then that means I you know, anytime I have an itch, I'm going to scratch it, or I have something go on, I'm going to just let it. No, you don't do that. You know what I'm saying, okay? You are polite, and you behave yourselves, right? That's godly behavior. I had somebody come to me and say, well, I don't want to put a mask on, so I'm just going to tell it like it is. And I really don't like her hair. and I really don't like the way he is. And I'd blah, 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 blah. I said, man, that, no, you're missing the whole point of what I'm saying. Yeah, but I'm not wearing a mask of phoniness. No, you're wearing the mask of rudeness is what you're doing. And there's something called that too. Amen? This is trying to deceive people. You can be real. You need to be really nice is what you need to be. You need to be real and be real godly. That should be the real you. You shouldn't, when you go home, act different than what you do right here in the respect of how your character is. Amen? So we get the idea about the masks, right? It's not a major revelation, but it's one we need to be reminded of. Everyone's talking about masks. And I thought, well, my goodness sakes, let's talk about masks. Those of you at home, you put a mask on today? Yeah, Pastor Dan, when I went into Lowe's. Well, praise God. I'm talking about a mask covering up something that you're trying to hide. What about the person that puts on the spiritual mask? You know, spiritual mask. Everything's spiritual. Well, you know, we live in a natural world, and you need to learn how to get whatever's in the spiritual realm to manifest in the natural world, but you're not going to do that through acting weird. Well, amen anyway. As ambassadors, we need to be people that are well-adjusted and can communicate with people on any level, every level, and we don't want to do things that are going to drive people away. Now, I'm not talking about praying for somebody in public. I think you should. I think when the Lord says do it, you do it. But there are some folks that go around trying to act weird to draw attention, all under the guise of I'm going to let my light shine. No, you're trying to draw attention unto yourself. So we don't want to do that. We need to be godly ambassadors, carrying ourselves with, you know, decency. Do things decently and in order. Don't do things. You remember me telling you about the guy that time that was standing in line at the restaurant? Go ahead, stand to your feet. He was standing in line at the restaurant, and he was so spiritual. He had that spiritual mask so tight put on because it all came out in the wash later on. I'm not going to disclose any of that, but there's things I know about that whole situation. But the fact is, he was standing in line and he starts praying in the spirit in a restaurant at a crowded restaurant, paying his ticket on a Friday night. The place was jam-packed. He gets slain in the spirit. They called 911 because they thought the guy had a heart attack. They didn't know. He's laying there and they're like, you know, gonna start chest compressions and all that. Oh no, I was just praying and I just got slain in the spirit. And people are going, uh-huh, yeah, right. Wacko. And I would have been one that said, wacko. He's not functioning the way the Bible says he ought to. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Anyway, so let your light shine before men, not some weird something shining before people. If God lays you down on the ground, you're not going to get hurt, and some supernatural something would happen if that were the case. But why, you know, why would he want to do that right there? I don't know. But anyway, so 911, the police came, the ambulance came, and there was nothing wrong, you know. And he's very fortunate he didn't get a ticket. So anyway, let's bow our heads and go before the Lord on this. Father, we thank you tonight and praise you tonight. We give you glory tonight for the word. We thank you that we are people that recognize that we don't have to put on a facade. And Lord God, we're not going to put on the spiritual mask when we come to church and all the rest of the time look some other way. We want to be consistent in the way that we conduct our lives. And we'll conduct them before you in purity. Father God, with your word on our lips, the love of Christ in our hearts, God, not turning it on and turning it off when it's convenient. We're going to walk this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, all the days of our life. We're just going to be doers of the word. And so I thank you and praise you tonight that in each of our lives, you minister to us regarding if there's a mask that we've been putting on and trying to fool people. We're not going to do that any longer in the name of Jesus. Come on, can you all agree with that? If you can't, say amen. Let me have that.